But I'm actually located in Estonia.
Thycotic. I love the way that sounds. Thycotic.com. Okay. What do you guys do?
What we do is we actually provide solutions that help protect privileged accounts. So privileged accounts, which are one of the core elements that organizations really need to isolate, to secure, we help provide solutions that discover those accounts, then allow companies to actually add security controls, put them into a vault, automate the password rotation. So actually the human doesn't need to know the password anymore. They just need to interact with the solution, provide a level of trust, and then we actually provide all the auditability, additional security controls, session recording, and the ability to make sure the organization has those really sensitive keys of the kingdom under lock and control.
Now, when you say privileged accounts, does that mean accounts that the end user, the client, gives permission to be at a certain place at a certain time on the network? Is that what a privileged account means?
What a privileged account is actually things like domain administrator accounts, on the actual domain that do things
higher level stuff,
root accounts for Unix and Linux, SA accounts for your databases, also a lot of security accounts that you need to go and configure security products. You need to make sure that those accounts are under lock and key. Your Salesforce account that you can actually go and add users, your financial data accounts, your CRM solutions, all of those that have any type of controls of configuring, adding users, unprovisioning, that have sensitive access to maybe databases, to applications, to deploying software and so forth. All of those accounts that really have that high level ability to really move around the network to potentially, most of them actually what actually hackers look for. Those are the accounts that allow them to stay hidden, to do their job.
Because they're posing as an administrator.
Correct. They're actually coming in, posing as a trusted insider, and then they're able to carry out whatever activity they need to do.
Now, is this a pathway for most attacks and entrances into networks? It's not a hack, per se. It could be that they just forgot their password. It was a bad password, password 01. Is that how they're getting to these privileged accounts, the bad guys?
There's many different ways. So one of the I can give you tons of stories.
Yeah, let's hear one. Yeah.
So actually, one of the most interesting ones was this is actually, I'm putting it into one of my white papers that will come out shortly. And it was actually a case that we actually doing a penetration test on a ship management company. And ultimately, what we end up doing, I do passive assessments, which is basically doing digital footprinting of organizations and networks. And then a team goes on site and they do the physical access. And one of the things we typically have done was using things like SDR, software-defined radios, to pick up hidden Wi-Fi signals. And they actually picked up one. And they found out that it was actually a light bulb communicating with a guest Wi-Fi network.
Wow.
And they actually were able to actually use that communication, use the light bulb to actually steal the password, get onto the Wi-Fi network. And then what they ended up finding was it was a conferencing room. They end up finding that actually the local administrator rights, they use Mimikatz to exploit the hash, expose the password, and it gave them access, full access to that desktop, which meant that they actually had all of the documentations, all of the financial information that people had been putting on that, because it was a conference presentation machine, that anything that was on that system for actually up to almost over 4 years. And then conference happened.
4 years?
Yeah, 4 years of data sitting on that desktop, untouched. Presentations, vendors, meetings that happened, inside information, all of that was sitting on that unprotected, exposed desktop. Even though it was in the internal network, we were able to compromise the guest Wi-Fi network. And then followed by that, of course, you have meetings. People come in and they do meetings in the room. And what was interesting was they switched Wi-Fi network from the corporate to the guest. It was faster, less restrictive, so they could do things that they would typically not do in the corporate network. But what we found was the administrator password that was on that local desktop was the same as the laptop password. And so by knowing that, we moved across, you install a RAT, they finish the meeting, they go back into the organization's network, and you're full access. So that's some of the cases, and you get back to it, a simple, unprotected, weak Wi-Fi connection and light bulb ultimately caused a compromise of an organization. So that's just one example, which typically those require physical access. Otherwise, is of course going through social phishing, spear phishing.
Right.
Another example is things like really getting into people clicking on social logins. And those social logins are not actually the real logins. But you end up exposing just their simple, maybe standard account. But once you have access and you have their trusted ID that allows you to get into the network, elevating it becomes the next step. And that's where we come into place, is we help organizations protect and reduce the risk of those elevations of privileged accounts.
So Joseph, in terms of investigations, this is very rich data, and the case that you just alluded to, the light bulb. We talk about IoT and asset control. Haven't really thought about checking those light bulbs, have you, Chuck?
No, I have not thought about that.
So that being said, in terms of the investigation, can you speak as much as you can legally and within compliance about the type of collaboration that your firm engages in with Interpol, Europol, and law enforcement around the world, because obviously this type of data that you're collecting is very valuable to law enforcement.
Yeah, most of the data we're collecting is actually stays on-premise within the customer, so it's not something that we get as an organization. We don't collect the data. The customers maintain it within their organizations and within their own instances. So something that we get access to, and it's something that we would be able to share with organizations and so forth. So, but it is very sensitive to organizations to carry out investigations. So, for example, if you ever have a breach, actually, our solution is one of the areas that you can actually help very restrict those breaches from laterally moving. So helping on a lot of those investigations and forensics, but from an on-premise standpoint, from an on-premise activation, where you can actually turn around and say that this account's been compromised, we can actually rotate the password immediately. We can actually secure those accounts. We can then look at the auditability and look at how these accounts have been used. So we've got solutions that does behavior analytics to understand about how these accounts have been used, are they being used to jump from machine to machine, when they've been used, potentially what software has been installed during that time, and record the session. So companies can go back, when they have an incident, they can go back over the forensics data and really see that how do we actually can lock this down in the future and prevent it from occurring again? How are we going to use that data in order to make sure that we actually eliminate the current incident and then look at ways to improve security controls to prevent all of those in the future? So it's a very great way to actually eradicate those incidents immediately and then provide forensics in order to how are you going to actually pass it over to the the law enforcement in order to help make sure that all the companies don't get the same exploits, and also to make sure that those companies can do actions to really make sure that it doesn't happen again in the future.
Now, I'm no genius, but my mom didn't raise any dumb kids. And what I hear from all this is, let me get this straight. You are an IT administrator. Your job is to make sure things are secure. And you're forgetting to change your password, and you're forgetting to update your trusted site. What? What are we hiring you for? I don't get that part. I mean, that's your job, right? It's not like I built a car and I forgot to put the right wheel on. And you get fired for it, right? What is the mentality going through these? I love your product because we need it apparently a lot. But what is it too complex for everybody to keep up with? I mean, what is the challenge that creates psychotic? And you guys can get it right. You're getting it right with software.
Absolutely.
Why aren't they getting it right? What's going on with that?
So let's bring it back to the human side of things. So we've been doing a lot of research. One of my roles in the company is to perform a lot of research into what the threats are, what things we can do. So we actually conduct a lot of surveys. And the recent one we released, which was our cybersecurity metrics report, which is that 4 out of 5 companies are actually not happy with their metrics. They're not happy with the performance of their cybersecurity products. Over 50% are actually not even knowing if the products are providing any value.
Really?
And over 30% are actually making cybersecurity investments blindly. And one of the things is that what I find is I've been doing this for many, many years, and I find that we've actually lost a bit of the balance between technology and people. Employees. So employees, in this industry right now, we're too quick to blame the employee for the actual problem. We're too quick to point fingers. The employees actually caused the incident. But in this industry, we have to remember that the employee is a victim. They are, unless it's, of course, was it abuse and, on the actually carrying out abuse.
Well, which does happen, yeah.
Which does happen on occasion. You've got the insider abuse happening. But in this case is that in most cases, they're actually an unknowing, unintentionally victim. And the reason why is we have to remember that technology is here to help people do their work. And there has to be a balance between that. And ultimately, what we find is that when the technology fails, we're too quick to point the fingers to people. And we have to understand that there needs to be that balance. And that's one of the things that we help provide. We help make sure that one of the reasons why we have such a situation is cyber fatigue. We are so overwhelmed with all of the threats and the increase of threats that even IT administrators who are actually so overworked, so under-resourced, so basically lack of budget, that it's very struggling for them to do their job. And they set in cyber fatigue. They get into the point where, yes, they can't do everything, and even to the point where changing the password or choosing something complex. So we come in and we help actually provide a lot of the automation, help take that away from their actually one of the things they need to do in the checkbox of list of things. And we manage that for them. We help protect and secure those accounts. And it means they can focus on the other things that's important for the business to help really the business actually focus on what they need to deliver
for
the
customers. Well, that's true, the business growth, yeah. Now, I like this one. Can I take another question?
Yes, of course.
All right, so we have a business model where the IT guys want to focus on the business. Mm-hmm. I get that part. And I'm an HR guy at the big studio, and we're going to hire people to do what my business wants to be done, not what a third party trying to hack me down wants to be done. I get that part. Are we seeing a shift in a shift in genius away from the big corporations that were the innovators with their products and the geniuses, and IT became a necessary, well, unwanted but necessary thing. And it's the brain trust moving to private sector companies like yourself. Mm-hmm. There's only so many smart people in the room because we have a million person shortage, right? Are all the smart people going to the private sector for the software support companies that support the bigger corporations? That's what I seem to be saying. The smartest innovation is coming from the third party software companies.
Yeah. The reason why a lot of that is that they have more flexibility, less politics, less policies to go through. They have a bit more freedom and more dynamics. So one of the things that I've seen is that, to the point is that we have a varied shortage in professional skills. But you have to remember, I've been doing this for 25 years now. And over this, my career, what I've seen is that cybersecurity, it's not static. You can't just learn a product and you're now a professional for the rest of your career.
Right.
This is an industry which is dynamically changing. So all these security professionals that's here at Black Hat today, they'll have to retrain, re-educate, learn new techniques in order to make sure they're actually relevant next year. And while we have a million shortages, yes, we need to fill that void. We need to educate. We need to teach them the techniques. We need to teach them the understanding, the foundation, and then give them the ability to go on continuously learn themselves. And this will help. But all of this innovation is helping because in the startups, in the SMBs, in the small, medium companies, in the private sector, they're a lot more dynamic. They're a lot more ability and flexibility. And really, the government organizations should actually more collaborate with them to actually work together in order to make sure that they have best practices, have that innovation, and make sure that they stay ahead of the curve in the future.
We went a little long, so we're going to give you the last question. Go ahead, you take it. What's his last question?
So, Joseph, what keeps you awake at night? What do you worry about?
So, in my mind, I mean, one of the things that I worry about is, there's so many threats out there. I worry about, actually, not for myself, but other people out there that don't have the actual understanding and knowledge that we do.
Right.
And the understanding that actually keeping your personal information private, keeping it secret, making sure you manage your passwords, making sure you put them in the vaults, and making sure you're actually doing security. We're in a situation where most people out there, it's your network around you. It's the person across the room who has a mobile phone, which is the biggest risk to you. Because they may be taking pictures, they may be updating, they may be actually leaking something that you may not want them to do. So more for me, it's more about helping educate the industry, helping show the knowledge, and helping bring it up that we need to start from the foundation. We need to make sure that actually even that six-year-old kid who's on the internet and becoming digital native, that they have the knowledge to protect and secure and make sure that they're actually not just digital natives, but they've actually got security from design, from actually that education.
Joseph Carson, Thycotic, thycotic.com. Thanks for coming on SecurityGuyTV.com at Black Hat 2017. Great discussion.
Absolutely.
Good luck to you,
Mike.